If there's anybody here that doesn't know me, I'm Toby. I'm the children's pastor here. And while I love being with the kids, I'm really excited about being here with you today as well. And I've enjoyed watching our little church grow and hope somehow to have an opportunity to get to know everyone a little bit better. Jeff and Patty are at a wedding this weekend, and I have the privilege of giving this sermon this morning. And since the beginning of the year, we've been going through, Jeff has been leading us through a series on wisdom. And he's been focusing a lot on the heart, caring for our heart and paying attention to it. And last week, Greg gave us a message that was about wisdom and understanding, and about how when we daily keep our focus on Christ and the Word, that our hearts will be illuminated with understanding by the Spirit. And as the series is coming to an end, I'm glad to be able to add to our learning as we look at a passage from Proverbs 3 that says, "Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and to those who hold on to her, they are very happy and blessed." And I'd like us to consider that when we're connected to this divine source of wisdom, we can become like a tree of life to others, a vehicle of God's life and love and blessing, human, fruitful, flourishing trees. I love that image. And I've really enjoyed preparing for this sermon because I like trees so much and the symbols of trees. I find it to be really hopeful. And I have a little tree necklace that I wear often, more than any other necklace that I have. And it reminds me of the abundant life that we have through God. And it also gives me hope for the day that I will enjoy eating from the tree of life in God's restored creation. And the Bible is full of symbols and metaphors that help us enter imaginatively into the text. And today we will look at some of them. And I think that truly a symbol or a picture is worth a thousand words. For me, it is. I feel like I engage with God in ways that I don't when I'm just reading something very straightforward. And so I hope that you experience that as well. Recently, my husband and I went to Cambria Pines up in the Central Coast. We like to go up there once or twice a year, a little spiritual renewal. And we have a tradition of going to a favorite spot for a picnic that's out on a point overlooking the ocean. And when you're at the end of the point and you look back, you have the ocean and then all the hills behind you. And we like to have a picnic there. And as we slowly walk out, we pass through a eucalyptus grove and listen to the branches rub together and sing their tree song. And there's one huge tree that looks like five trunks put together, and it invites you to climb up in its branches. It's enormous. There are also pine trees, and their scent mixed with the salt air is lovely. We enjoy our picnic while taking in every shade of green and noticing the mineral-rich, milky blue waters that turn into cobalt. And after we eat, we lie down and breathe with the lungs of the trees and the rhythm of the sea, and we stay a while. God restores us and speaks to us through the language of his creation. This is called foresting. It's when we slow down, breathe, and bathe in nature, using all of our senses to experience it. God's Spirit is alive in it. Nature is God's first language. I share this experience with you because I hope it will quiet your hearts and mine in preparation for the scriptures that we will look at today. And before we read our Bible passages, I also would like to show you a video of a poem by Mary Oliver called "When I Am Among the Trees."
When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines. They give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I'm so distant from the hope of myself. in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say, "and you too have come into the world to do this. To go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine."
Don't you love that? That's what we're supposed to do. I just think that is so beautiful. And I love that she said that the trees save her daily. They call out to her to stay a while, and then they call again. They say, "Go easy, be filled with light, and shine." And it makes me think of Lady Wisdom calling out and inviting everyone to come to her. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you are full of wisdom and light and life. Your wisdom is so valuable, and you call us to live by it and enjoy it. Holy Spirit, stir us up to respond to your invitation. Help us to desire and decide to be rooted in, fed, and watered by your living word and loving kindness. As we read your word today, please enlighten our hearts and give us understanding. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. The main passage that I want to look at today is from Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Let's hear God's word and let it water our hearts. In another passage in Isaiah 55, it talks about the word of God being like the rain and the snow that water the earth, that sprout, bring forth seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And so because I really struggled with which verses to choose today, because I really, this should be a tree series. And I tried so hard to squeeze it in. Ask my husband. He's been agonizing with me. So there's a lot of verses in here. So just listen to them and just let it water you, water your soul. Happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left, riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom and established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the watery depths broke open, and the clouds dripped with dew. In Proverbs 8, it also speaks of wisdom and saying that wisdom was beside the Lord as a master workman. And she was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having her delight in the sons of men. I love this passage, this description. This one's not up there, but of wisdom, how she's delighting in the work and the creation and everything that's happening. She's there at the Lord's side. She's rejoicing and having her delight in the sons of men, in the way that the world was meant to be, in the way that we were created to live. This passage shows us the benefits of wisdom and her unsurpassing value. Nothing, nothing, nothing we desire compares to her. Nothing at all, ever. She's a source of life, the way it was meant to be lived. She's worthy of all of our desires. And what do we do when we desire something? We long for it. We think about it. We talk about it. And then we make a plan to get it. Our desires lead to thoughts. Our thoughts lead to words. Our words lead to actions. And our actions lead to character, and our character is our life. So we should pay attention to what we desire and pray for the right order of our affections. So how do we embrace wisdom? In our next slide, we have some instructions from the book of Proverbs about how we get wisdom. And the first thing in getting wisdom is from Proverbs 9, verse 10, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And so this fear of the Lord is not, it's a fear that means reverence. It's a reverence and acknowledgement of God and who He is. In order to embrace wisdom, we must begin with this reverence for Yahweh and acknowledge that He is the Most Holy One. He's the giver of wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The second thing that we need to do in order to embrace wisdom is to decide that we want it, to set our mind on attaining it. Proverbs 4:7 says, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight." That one always makes me laugh. You want wisdom? Get it. What keeps us from pursuing wisdom? Often this can happen when we have disordered affections above our desire for God. So we can pray and ask God to show us if something's holding us back. We can be honest with Him about where we're at and what we're feeling. We can ask Him to help us to desire godly wisdom over other things. We should pay attention to where we feel resistance. And we can also pray and ask God. Sometimes I have a prayer that is just to say, "I want to want this." Because I think sometimes I'm afraid of what it's going to cost me or what I have to do or let go of. But I really want that thing. So I think at least making a step in that direction is to say, "I want to want that." So if you're struggling in the area of really wanting to pursue wisdom, start there. In James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, to everyone, without reproach, and it will be given him." God has storehouses of wisdom, and He never runs out. He never runs out of anything. I love that. The third thing that we can do if we want to embrace wisdom is to search for it. In Proverbs 8, verse 17 and 19, it says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver." It's a spiritual wealth that we get that's eternal. It's something that will remain when all other riches and things and possessions that and desires that we have are gone. This spiritual wealth will be eternal. And I think about this diligently, persistently searching for it. And in my family, we love to search for sea glass. Anybody in here like to search for sea glass? A few of you. Well, you know, it's hard to stop once you get going. And if the current is just right and there's been a storm and the rubble's exposed, you can go back and forth along the beach and you might get lucky and find a really rare piece. I have a sweet friend named Lynn, and she found an orange one on Main Beach, which is very rare. But you always have this hope that you're going to find this treasure. But with wisdom, you're guaranteed that you will find these treasures and they will be given to you. And they look different than the orange sea glass, but it's this work that God is doing in you and working out in you as you continue to grow and to be under His care and provision and coming to His wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35 says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." In this particular passage, when it says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me," listen, it's not just hear a sound. It's listening with a view to obedience. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the word obey or obedient, it just sounds so hard. But obedience is, it's an action. It's a response to love. It's a response to trust. Like when we're loving and trusting God, we want to obey the things that he asks us to do. And it has a different texture than I think what we often might have come to our mind first. So in order to embrace wisdom, we begin by reverencing the Lord, deciding we want to get wisdom, and diligently seeking it. We put ourselves in a position to be where she is, listening to her instruction daily and finding life. I imagine us being wisdom tree huggers. Anybody here like to hug trees? I know I'm asking you to raise your hands a lot, but I'm just wondering, like, who... When my kids were little, like toddlers, there was a young tree that was planted in front of our house, and so it didn't have very big of a trunk. And I think they were probably around two or maybe three. And they used to run around and play in the grass and run around in the tree. And I remember they would hug the tree, and I thought it was so sweet. No one told them to hug the tree. It was just this natural impulse that they had. And so I hope that God would bless us with an impulse and a desire to hug and embrace and to hold on to his wisdom tree. I'm going to give you some tree facts. I'm not an expert in trees. I'm just an expert on enjoying them. Trees are pretty amazing, and if we really knew how valuable they were, I think we would all want to go and hug one. Maybe you will today. Here's a quick list of some wonderful things that trees do. They provide oxygen. They clean the air. They cool the streets and the cities. They're beautiful and fragrant. They feed us. They prevent soil erosion. They heal. They reduce violence. They're teachers and playmates. They provide comfort. They're the oldest living organisms on the earth. There's a bristlecone pine tree named Methuselah that's in California that's 5,000 years old. It's the oldest tree on earth. And it's right here in our state. Trees are also social beings. They can nurse other trees that are around them that are sick through these electrical impulses through this fungi system. They also, if they're from the same like parent tree, if a tree has been felled down to a stump, they will use their roots to send sugar, and they can keep the trunk alive. It's so cool to think about all the things and the way that God has made our creation. And in the house that we live in, we have some trees along our house, and our neighbors wanted to cut down these trees for a view. Like, cut them down. He pulled them out of the ground. I was so sad. And so were the trees, because the whole row that was next to them dropped their leaves after these other trees were removed. And they've come back. It took like a year for this one row to start to really flourish again. But I was just noticing how amazing they are and how connected they are to each other and to us. The next slide that I have is a slide from a tree in Lebanon. My husband and I traveled there to visit our son and daughter-in-law. And while we were there, they took us to one of the cedar forests. And it was really beautiful and exciting to see the types of trees that are talked about in the Bible. These trees are now in a nature reserve to protect them because they're dwindling for a variety of reasons, which is really sad. But I'm glad that they're working to watch over them. It's hard to tell that this tree is over 100 feet tall. Some of the cedars are up to 1,000 years old. And these cedars the cedars of Lebanon were used to build the temple in Jerusalem. And the next slide that I have gives you a little more perspective on the trunk. That's my husband. He didn't know I was going to do that. Sorry, babe. this lets you see how big the tree is in the trunk when he's just so small next to it. But cedars are a symbol of strength and prosperity, and they're found throughout the Bible. And there were all kinds of imagery of trees and forests and stuff in Israel, in ancient Israel. It was actually very forested, and there's different trees that are mentioned from that area. Oak and sycamore, olive and fir, cedars and cypress, mustard and mulberry, terebinth and hawthorn and juniper are all trees that are mentioned in the Bible. And what I want to look at is this tree of life theme, this tree in particular. Wisdom is a tree of life. We know of the tree of life in the very first pages of the Bible and the tree of life in the very last page of the Bible. So this is a theme that goes all the way through. They're like biblical bookends and a reminder that the creation lost will be restored. In the biblical imagination and writings, the metaphorical schemes of people like trees was really foundational. And if you want to explore this subject more, I suggest listening to the Tree of Life series, which is from the Bible Project, which I have listened to a lot of, so I gleaned from that. Our next slide, we will look at verses from Genesis to support the idea that fruitful trees and fruitful humans are the planting of the Lord. In Genesis 1:11, God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit, and which is their seed, according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. Genesis 1:28, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth.'" People were to be fruitful by multiplying, but also to be fruitful by the produce of the way that they lived their lives, how they imaged God, how they ruled in the world, and how they took care of the land. And we have that same responsibility to image God well and live fruitful lives today. This is how we experience the kingdom of God on earth and cause it to grow and spread to others. In Genesis 2, verse 9, it says, "And out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." The tree of life represents God's own life and creative power that's made available to others, made available to everyone. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" I've never really focused on this before, but the first commandment is that they eat from all the trees. You should surely eat from all these trees, including the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. Ingesting God's own life that leads to eternal life. Every day we also have a choice to take and to eat from the tree of knowing good and evil, which is to do what seems good or wise in our own eyes, in our own way, in our own time, or to trust God, taking in his wisdom, which is a tree of life. In the book of Hosea, there's not a slide for this one, but this was another one I couldn't pass up because it's another way of showing God as a tree. But God is speaking to the people of Israel. And Hosea 14, it's the last chapter of this book. And it's when the people have turned and they've repented and they're returning to God. And he says, "I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you." And this line right here, he says, "I am an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them." This was an interesting one, this image of God as this luxuriant cypress tree that's fruitful, because cypress trees don't bear fruit. But in some of the commentaries I looked at, it was talking about even in the absence of fruit, God is their fruitfulness. He himself is going to be the fruitfulness. He's going to supply all of their needs. It's a promise that his eye is fixed on his people. And he's going to give them shelter and security. So how do we not only embrace wisdom, but hold on to wisdom and not let go? And one of the first things is to delight and meditate in his word or in his law daily. So in our next slide, we should have Psalm 1 through 3, which is another one of my favorites. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. We see that people who don't walk in the counsel of the wicked but choose to delight and meditate on the law of the Lord are blessed. They're spiritually healthy and they're fruitful. And the Hebrew word for blessed means how very happy. God's word is like water. As we draw nourishment from it, we will become strong and fruitful like a tree. The ancient Israelites were an agricultural society, and a tree planted by water could have brought to mind an intentional irrigation of water, and not just a tree that happened to be growing by a water or a stream. And when we meditate daily and delight in the word of God, we are intentionally putting ourselves in a position to be watered by the streams of God. This is one way we can embrace and hold on to wisdom. And meditate means to muse over, think about, ask questions, engage our imaginations, pray, reflect, and ponder. The Bible is ancient Hebrew literature that's meant to be read and meditated on. Through deep contemplation and turning over and around in the mind, we will gain greater understanding and be changed by God's truth. I'm always telling the children when we're learning and looking at the words in the Bible that this is a book that you don't just read once or twice. You read this all of the rest of your life, and it's so amazing because God continues to reveal things, and you just go deeper and deeper and deeper. You never are going to be like, I know, at a place where you say, oh, I know all that, or I know that story. And it's just so amazing. So it's something to be meditated on. I already said it was really difficult to choose which verses to use today because there are so many. Actually, other than the word God or people, trees are the third most common thing that's mentioned of living things in the Bible. Pretty much if you open any two pages, you'll find somewhere on there a tree or a shrub or a plant or a seed. The word etz is the Hebrew word for tree, and I think it's pretty important. I think God loves trees, and he wants us to meditate on them so that we can be fruitful trees, too. When we were just on our trip to the Central Coast on our way up, after all the rain, things are so green and so beautiful. We were passing this one area, and I couldn't figure out what this was, this field. It was so bright and so yellow, and I was thinking, that's not clover. That's not mustard. What is that? Because it was in the distance. It was a grove of citrus trees, and they were loaded with lemons. I couldn't see any leaves. There was no green. And I was thinking, that's what we want to be like, these loaded lemon trees or whatever the fruit is, you know, just heavy with fruit. It was really neat. After the irrigation that they already had, and then in addition to this watering with the rain, I thought it was a good image. We learn in Jeremiah 17 that another way to embrace wisdom and hold on is to trust in the Lord. And we do a song with the kids where we say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is the sign language for trust, and it's like holding on to a rope, which is perfect because we're talking about holding on to wisdom. And this is very similar to Psalm 1 passage, but instead of focusing on delighting and meditating in the word, this one is talking about trusting in the Lord. But both of the images say that when you're doing that, you're like these trees planted by the streams. So it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. When we trust in the Lord, we are on the peaceful paths of wisdom. And I really want to be like this. And so this imagery is so helpful to me to think about a tree that's flourishing even in a time of drought. You know, its roots are going down to this source of water that's sustaining it. That's what I want spiritually, not for just for me, but for all of us. This one is not on there, but in Psalm 92 it says, the righteous, which they talk a lot about wisdom. When you're walking in wisdom, you are a righteous person. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God, and they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green, to declare that the Lord is upright. So another way to embrace wisdom and hold on and not let go is to be planted in the house of the Lord, which you're doing it right now. You've all come to church. You put yourself in the position to embrace wisdom and flourish. Good job. For trees to flourish, they have to have the right condition. Trees need water and many other things. But in the biblical imagery, you often see trees and water, like in these past couple of verses. And water is a symbol of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In our next slide, we have a verse from Isaiah that being watered by the Spirit will help us to embrace wisdom and hold on. It's another thing that will help us. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows and flowing like willows by flowing streams. I just think that's so beautiful. I pray for that for my kids and my children's children, that they would have God's Spirit poured out on them, that they would spring up like willows by these flowing streams. God's Spirit is watering and animating humans. And again, we have the imagery of people or trees. So to embrace wisdom and hold on, we need to delight and meditate on the Word, trust in the Lord, be planted in the house of the Lord, and be watered by the Spirit. Wisdom is the way God created and ordered and sustains the world, and it's vital for one to embrace and hold on to wisdom to live successfully in it. Yet wisdom cannot be gained without faith in Jesus, who is the power and wisdom of God. Without faith in the Son of God, we won't be covered by his righteousness and filled with his Spirit to dwell in us and guide us in all of our ways. Jesus himself said in John 15, I think our next slide, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Not only do we eat spiritual food from this tree, but we are invited to become a part of it, helping produce its fruit so that his life and love can spread through us to others. When we're with the kids and we're talking to them about loving Jesus and trusting him, and we're trying to explain the Holy Spirit, I say that when they trust in Jesus, it's like a Jesus seed that he puts inside of them. The Jesus seed is like this love that will grow and help to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of our lives, we're growing these fruits, and these are part of the treasures that we get with wisdom. It's hard work along the way, but they're beautiful. It's kind of like a grain of sand that's a little irritant that turns into this beautiful pearl. Another verse that I have about Jesus being wisdom is that in Colossians 2, verse 3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I think that's a very good vine to be attached to. I want to be abiding in Jesus. We will be searching and seeking and finding treasures in Jesus through eternity. I don't think we'll ever run out of things to explore. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is Jesus, who is there in the beginning with creation, who made all things by him and for him, and through him he holds everything together. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Another tree image. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And so when we are embracing wisdom, we have different imageries. We have the personification of wisdom as Lady Wisdom. We have the symbol of her being a tree of life, which connects us to the tree of life in the garden, the source of life from God. But now we also have Jesus as our tree of life that's passed through death, risen again, and the first fruits of that that can offer life to all of us. So if we're embracing Jesus and his wisdom, we'll bear much fruit. In James 3, 13 and 17, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." That's beautiful. I like that wisdom. And the last slide, I have our last verse, unless another one comes to mind, from Revelations chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. And this is just that bookend that we started with, the verses in Genesis and now all the way through to Revelation. And I think this is one of the things I get really excited about, is when I see something that's in the beginning that's carried all the way through. And I think that this is part of this ancient Hebrew wisdom literature, meditation literature, that as you're reading it and reading it and reading it, and you come across these things, they're like these connections to things in other places. And so you get this connection or this link and you go, oh yeah, I remember this from over here. And so this was really fun, but also really hard, because I really wanted to look them all up. But then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I love to imagine this. What will this look like? This river coming from the throne, and a tree on either side, and 12 fruits, and each month it has a fruit, and it's healing for all the nations. That's just amazing. I can't wait to see it. That's part of what this necklace reminds me of. And then our last slide are some questions. One question is, even I'm going to ask them slowly. I don't have a lot of time to pause, but the first one is, where are you planted? As a tree, where are you planted? What is watering you? Where are you getting wisdom from? Where are your roots growing? And the next one is, what helps you connect with the life-giving presence of God that's both within you and all around you? Maybe you have some disciplines or things that you do that help you connect, and you know what that is. I know when we had the chance to go to Cambria, it was a little bit overdue. We used to have a better rhythm of having some days, even a half day or even a quarter day, like when we went out to the point and we just stayed there and just breathed and lied down and just like soaked it all in. We need some things and some times that help to slow us down so we can listen. And I know it's so hard in our culture and our society. We really have to fight for it. The next question is, what kind of tree would you like to be? It's always good to think or have an image or picture of what you want, where you're going, what you want to look like. So maybe there's something that you have that you can kind of put before your mind as a picture of what you'd like to look like. And spend some time in prayer imagining that tree. And then ask the divine gardener to tend to that tree, because God is the divine gardener on his gardener's throne, and he takes care of our souls. So let me close us in prayer. We made it. Lord, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for your wisdom. Again, thank you for your life that you give to us. I pray that you would help each one of us right where we're at, that you would help us to grow closer to you. If there's any that don't know you, I pray that their hearts would be stirred up and that they would want to trust you with their lives. I pray that for those that already are following you, that you would help us all grow. Help us to have hearts that are generous and full of wisdom and good fruit, so that we can bring your kingdom and help it to spread here on earth. We love you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.